Revelation 12 and verse 6.
Revelation 12 and verse 6.
Do you enjoy them at home?
That's good.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. Ine.
Ine.
Ifagin.
Ifagin.
Ace.
Ace.
Tain.
Tain.
Eremun.
Eremun.
Hupo.
Hupo.
Eke.
Eke.
And here's another Eke.
Eke.
All right. Topon.
Topon.
Etoi ma seminoam.
Etoi ma seminoam.
Apo.
Apo.
Tu.
Tu.
Theu.
Theu.
Hina.
Hina.
Eke. Trollsposen. Altain.
Altain.
Kameros.
Kameros.
Helios.
Helios.
Diakosios.
Diakosios.
Hek Konta.
Hek Konta.
All right, we'll go back and study these. Now, remember what the word gynecologist means? Study a woman, woman doctor, okay? Here's where it comes from, right here. And the woman. Hekai Hei Gine. All right? And the woman, she fled. All right, she ran away. That's third person singular, second aorist, and indicative active. Now look at your little little handouts that I gave you. Your little bookmarkers. Okay, see the little grammar study there. A third person singular is he, a she, or an it, isn't it? All right. So she. And the word here comes from phiego, okay? Phiego. That means to run away from, to flee a scene, all right? So she, and then we have the word flee. We have indicative mode and active voice. See that down there? All right. Now, what is the aorist? It's second aorist. What does the aorist tense tell you?
Point in time.
Point of time. Point time action. All right, punctiliar action. See there, now you're learning how to read that little thing. I was going to get that to you a long time ago. But it's nice to have it on. Put it in your Bible and look at this as you're studying and reading your Bible. Just look at that and memorize those things. It'll tell you about the things that we, when we study here. All right? And then she fled unto the wilderness, the desert. Many Bible scholars believe that where Israel is going to flee is down into the rose-red city of Petra. How many of you have ever heard about the city of Petra? All right. City of Petra was an ancient metropolis. And they thought that it would never die. It was like New York City. It was like a gigantic harbor, like San Francisco or Seattle, some great big crossroads, where people would come and get supplies and leave all things. They had great big retail stores there, wholesale stores, everything in Petra and their time. But God said the city would be turned into a desert. And many Bibles, or many critics of the Bible, thought that there was no such thing or place as Petra at all, because nobody knew where it was. They knew where it was. They couldn't find it. Well, it disappeared. How can a city like New York City disappear off the face of the earth and no trace of it? Finally, somebody stumbled in there and found it. And this was a gigantic trade route. And then since then, they have discovered records of her being such a great trade route. But what happened? Here was Petra right here, okay? And the trade route went like that through the town. Well, they decided, God put it in other people's hearts, make the trade route go down here and around. Guess what happened to Petra? She got forgotten. So forgotten that in place even existed for hundreds of years. That was a gigantic trade area. It really would never grow very much because of the area is a desert. Okay? Aremu. See that one there? A desert. Come to the desert. Where she shall be. The Lord will have her there, in this place, is what it says. Now, this was who was the the grandfather of Petra. His name was Red. In the Bible, his name's Red. Who was that? His descendant was on the throne of Israel when Jesus was born. Esau's descendants. All right? Esau's name is Red, by the way. That's his name. Okay? This was Esau's territory. Now, God not only took this territory from Esau's descendants, but He is going to protect His nation Israel there during this terrible part of the tribulation period that we're studying now. This is the last 3.5 years of that tribulation period, which is called Tribulation the Great. He is going to protect His nation on the devil's ground, right in His own yard. Remember when I told you about the Indian going into the village and staking himself out right in the enemy's territory and fighting them off hand-to-hand combat? That's what the Lord's going to do right here. That's what's going to happen. The bravest of the brave. Our Lord and Savior is going to fight Satan on his own ground. He's going to beat him. The desert where he has, or she is going to be kept there, write that down in my book while I'm thinking about it. Or she shall be kept there in that place. How many of you ever heard of the word topography? That's the study of the lay of the land. Well, here's where it comes from. Topo. It comes from topos, actually. All right? Topography. In that place. All right? And then it says, Etoi Masse Manon. That place that's having been prepared. The place that hadn't been prepared. Here, this was a gigantic, crazy city. God evacuated it. He evacuated it, and really today, you go there, and it's a tourist area, and that's all. One man almost could hold off an army, because the canyons are so deep and narrow there, a guy could stand up and drop rocks on her head and defend the city. And that's why they didn't think it was totally, absolutely not penetratable. They thought that they could fight off any enemy. But the enemy that destroyed the city was that they traded to change the trade route. And you can see this in several books in the Old Testament. Zechariah 13:6 and 13:8-9, Daniel 9:23-27, Jeremiah 30 and verse 7, Zechariah 14:4-5. These are different places where you can go and study. If I studied every one of these verses thoroughly, we'd be in here until the Lord came back. I guarantee this book is so big that if we studied it the way we could study it, that we would be here forever. I'm trying to go just hit the high places. All right? Israel is going to have a hard time on some hard ground right here that God puts them in this place. Having been prepared from God in order at there that they might be nourished in this area. God is going to nourish and take care of His nation, Israel. Alright? So many, what is wrong with the theology of the Presbyterians so much today? Of course, we have James Boyce. Of course, he's dead now. James Montgomery Boyce. He was in Pennsylvania, a great teacher and pastor back there, and he tried to straighten out their theology, and he had great influence. Most of the theology of the Presbyterian Church is that all of this is not real. This book of Revelation isn't real. James Boyce said, yes, this is going to happen, and it's futuristic. Remember when I told you about the different views? He said, the view and my view and his preaching, except that they don't put a whole lot of it out. On family radio, you listen to that a little bit, and I think that's a little bit. Well, anyway, every now and then you'll hear James Boyce get on there, and about the time he starts to really open up some real truths on the book of Revelation, they'll cut him off. Because they don't want it, because the main man that owns the station doesn't believe in this book. But every now and then you'll hear him open up, and I know what he's going to say next, but you never get to hear it. Simple as that. But this really is going to happen. God is really going to nourish the nation of Israel. Remember, I think last week I told you who the first Hitler was. Remember, some of you weren't here. Who was the first
Martin
Hitler?
Luther.
Martin Luther was the first Hitler. He was a great reformer, you know, out of the Church of Rome. He came out wanting to reform. But he hated, and by the way, a lot of the church fathers of of the Catholic Church Fathers wrote terrible things about the nation of Israel, that the nation of Israel should be totally annihilated, that there was no excuse for them living in the world today, that they should be done away with, the nation of Israel. Because they didn't interpret the end time in the book of Revelation correctly. They had the book of Revelation, but they didn't believe that Israel was Israel. They thought Israel was the church. Well, Israel and the church are two separate entities in the Word of God. This Israel here is the nation of Israel. These are Jacob's literal descendants. All right, and God does have a plan for them. God divorced Israel. We talk about divorce. That God doesn't allow divorce in the Bible. Well, the Lord let Himself have one. He demanded divorce from that woman, Israel. Now, Israel was His bride, but He had divorced her and set her aside as being His bride. Guess who took her place? The Lord's churches. Well, there's a lot of people that just can't say, well, that's what God did. But the Bible does say that in the end time, that God will use the nation of Israel again, and she will be His administrator on this earth again, and she will administrate His kingdom like she should have the first time. Martin Luther came up and he says that every Jew in the world should be taken up and put in a work camp. They should all be in work farms and enclosed in a prison-like deal, that all the men should be neutered and the women kept from having any children until the race is annihilated and done away with, because they destroyed and they murdered Christ, their King, and the apostles, which they were guilty of doing, weren't they? They did murder Christ. We know that. But God's not finished with them. But every promise that relates to the nation of Israel, these people take and relate to the church. Now, to get your theology correct, when you have to realize who's speaking, who's he speaking to, and what's the subject. And if you do that, if you interpret the Bible like that, you're going to find out that Israel does have a place in God's Word. The nation of Germany. Where was Martin Luther? Germany. That's a Lutheran state, isn't it? It became a state church. But that state, he wrote a book one time called The Lies of the Jews. The Jewish Lies and the Nation of Israel. And he wrote that pamphlet, and that went out to all the nation of Germany. And then finally, 400 years later, when, or less, when Hitler came on the scene, all he had to remember was, remember what Martin Luther said? Let's do it. Let's put them in death camps. Let's work them to death. They are non-people. Let's get rid of them. They're no good. Not only did they crucify the Messiah, which you didn't even hear about atheism or anything, but they were manipulating the nation of Germany because they had the money. They had all the purse strings on all the money and all the banks. Their mouths did call for blows. Some of the things they did over there. But all they did, why did the German people were so ready to do this to people? Because of what they had been taught with Martin Luther. You understand how history just flows like that when you say? We've been studying, you're the second time in the church history that I've taught. You're the second timers, two times in a row. There's so many things when you study church history that'll just open your minds to what happened in the world. Hello, you guys. We're in Revelation 12 and verse 6. This place having been prepared for her, during it's called the tribulation period. By the way, it's called Jacob's troubles. Many places in the Bible, Jacob's troubles. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. And it is Israel's trouble. The reason for the tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God. Simple as that. That's the only purpose for the tribulation period, is to bring Israel back to God. That's why the tribulation period has come on the earth. If you get that in your head, you get the problem straightened out.
That's the reason for everything to happen bad.
That's right. That's right. God punished Israel to bring her home. He punished Israel for hundreds of years. With the Babylonian and the Assyrian captivity and all the things that happened to them, they just kept going astray. He sent them God's Son, the Messiah, and they killed Him. And they were cut off as administrators in God's kingdom, and then the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ administrate the kingdom now. But when the rapture comes, right here, guess who's going to be the administrator on the earth again? Israel is going to be the administrator, and there's a lap link there. You know what a lap link is? It's an interlude, what you call an intermission. When you go to the intermission, there's going to be an intermission between the Lord's church as being his administrator and Israel, because he's got to get them ready, and it's going to be a real, real crash course. And I mean a crash course. All right? And this is a crash course that we're talking about right now. That he might nourish her, days, hebaros, kilios. What is a kilo in English? 1,000. There's where our word kilo came from, right out of Greek. Kilios. And then dia kosios. This comes from 2, all right, and 100, that term. And then we have hek kontos, and that means 6/10. 60. All right. So all this...
Is the kosios, is that 100?
Yeah. Dia kosios. That konta a kosios. That means tens and then hundreds. All right. 12 and verse 7. Revelation 12 and verse 7. Kai. Agenatol. Polemos. And... To, Urano, Ho, Mikael, Kai, Hoi, Angeloi, Alton, Tu, Pole, May, Say, Meta, Tu, Dracontos, Kai, Ho, Dracon, Et Pole, May, Sin. Kai, Hoi, Angeloi, Altu. All right. I'm trying to say these so you can pronounce every syllable. Sometimes I say them too fast, that way I have to slow down. I slur it like we do English.
Yeah.
And then you swallow the different syllables. And I want you to learn the syllables. All right? And it became, or it happened, or it occurred. This is the same word here, by the way, that is in John 1:14. Third person singular. Second aorist, indicative middle. All right? And it occurred for itself in the heaven, or it became, or it took place, or it came to pass. All right? John 1:14 says, and the Word, the Jehovah, became flesh. This is the word became right here. All right? And it became war. Polemos in the heaven. War took place in the heaven. And then it says, Ho Mikael. Who is that? Ho Mikael. And the mic. Now don't listen to Harold Camping, he'll tell you this is Jesus. Believe it or not. Michael is not Jesus. Alright? And Michael, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, even their thing, that they think he's Jesus also. And the Michael. By the way, Michael, the name Michael means he who is like God. He is the one that's called the archangel in the Bible. He is over the spiritual realm of God, which evidently is the most holy estate. We have 3 archangels that we know of in the Bible. The other ones are not spoken of as archangels, but we set them as archangels because of their places. By the way, the Jews have 7 archangels. And in their theology and their commentaries. But we recognize 3. 3 because God is triune, remember? God is physical. And physical expression of God is what? The Son. The spiritual, the spirit, the Holy Spirit. All right? Intellect, communicator, the Father. All right? Triune, man, you are body, You are spirit, and you are soul. You are made like God. God made you in His blood-flowing, shadow-casting image, it says in Hebrew. His spiritual image wants that you would become, you would be eternal. Nothing could destroy you. Hell won't even destroy you if you go to hell. You will live forever once you become. And of course, you're in His mental image. You have a lot of capacity to learn. Most people don't learn because they're too lazy. We use Markiplier, you doing that. Too lazy to learn. We have the mental capability of doing a lot more than what we do. My problem, I can learn a lot of things, I just can't keep it there anymore. I've learned it 400 times. And the Michael. The Michael. Look at that definite article out in front of me. Yeah. What does the definite article do in Greek?
It's a pointer.
Uh-huh, that's a pointer. It points out this Michael. This great Michael. The Michael and the ones, the angels of him, belonging to him, are that he's taken care of and his care. Now we have three of them. I don't have a racer, guys, so you just going to have to put up with all those different things up here. This is the angelic forces. We're going to call it a big circle. All right? There were three archangels, as far as we can understand. Michael, Gabriel, and
Lucifer.
All right. Michael is over the spiritual forces. Gabriel is over the communication forces. He communicates. All right. God communicates through His Word, doesn't He? To us. Well, God communicated with
Mary through Gabriel.
Mary through Gabriel. Daniel. Daniel at one time prayed and asked God to answer his prayer and give him a message. And it took Michael, or Gabriel that is, how long to get there? Took him a while, a couple of weeks to get there because Satan was stopping. God was going to instantly answer Daniel's prayers, but Satan hindered the answer. I hope that that's what's happening in my case, brother. Lucifer. Lucifer meant
material.
That's
over the physical one.
He's over the physical. All right. Physical realm. Now, when Lucifer rebelled against God and he became Satan, and we're going to study his names in just a little bit. How many of you have that book I wrote on the doctrines of the Bible? All of you, do you have all?
Yeah.
That comes along with this class. I'm going to give you one. If I can find it, that is. Somewhere.
The third price of all the different areas. Get there, Charlie.
Well, I thought I could find him, but they're hiding at the moment.
Yeah. But he didn't think that Harvest Charlie was there.
Austin's on a
lot.
Any of you need this? Do you have this?
Yes.
You have one? Anyone need this? The doctrines of the Bible. In this, we're going to study part of this in here, but you can go up here and look under Satan, and I'll give you all of his names in Greek and Hebrew all written out. All right? Any of you need one? Nope. All right.
Good question.
Yes, sir.
We're just talking about when Satan left, he didn't take 100% of his third.
No, that's where I'm going right now.
Okay, good.
That's where I'm going right now. When Satan rebelled against God, he did not take everybody out of his realm. Some of them went with God. But he took some of Michael's, we believe, and some of Gabriel's also. And they do different jobs. Somebody's out of Gabriel's realm. Guess what Gabriel's realm does? What does Gabriel do?
He communicates.
Do you think that possibly some of these witches and seances and things, some of these people that rebelled against God out of Gabriel's area, do you think that there would be messages sent to some of these people by these? We were talking about here the other day. You understand that just a little bit more? Huh?
The only way they did anything right.
That's these people, these things, these angels, these demons, whatever you want to call them, have been around here for a long time, and there is no limit to what they can do around this earth and what they've done. They could communicate to people very easily. Satan's stuff. All right? Lucifer was over the physical realm. Guess who's the god of this world today? Lucifer has control of the physical world today still. God's going to take it back, and he's about to do it right here. This is the beginning of it. When he starts taking it back by force. Okay? He said, Michael and the ones of the angels with him, belonging to him, to make war with the Drakontos. Drakontos. What does that Drakontos mean?
Dragon.
Dragon. The great dragon. Satan is looked upon as the great dragon. Dragon. What does dragons do? What do? They kill people. They breathe fire. They do all this kind of destroying. They destroy. How many of you ever watched that thing that the Japanese made? What in the world was that dragon? What, Godzilla? All right, this is Godzilla on the loose. This is what this dragon is. Let's look in the front of this little thing. Someplace in here there is Satan. Number 7 on page 12. If you'll go in there, and then the doctrine of hell. If you go in there and you see the doctrines of the devil is a real person. He's a real being. He's not an imaginary. He is not a story, not a fable. He is real. All right? We're seeing him right here, fighting against God, fighting against God's forces. And if you look right on the next thing, it'll tell you about hell. And the places about hell in that book. And I wrote them out here in Greek and in Hebrew so you could understand and read it a little bit more. I'm not going to be able to go into all of that or I'd be here forever. But I want you to see that. You have reference. You can study some of this at home during the week. The dragon. And the dragon he warred, he fought. Well, that's a peculiar action in it. Aorist tense. He fought and warred. And the angels with the angels of him. And not he was strong enough, not even a place was found for them to be left in heaven. They were cast out of heaven. They were cast out. They were cast out of the heaven. They couldn't stay there any longer. There was no room for them at the end. The whole story. All right. 12 and verse 9. We talk about Lucifer's many titles right here. All right. Kai. Yabalete. Ho. Drakon. Ho. Magus. Ho. Opus. Ho. Archaeos. Ho. Kaluminos. Diabolos. Kai. Ho. Satanas. Ho. Planon. Pain. Oikomenane. Holane. Evalete. Ace. Pain. Gain. Kai. Hoi. Angloi. Altu. Met. Altu. Evalete song. There's God's cross references to this. I'm going to read them. If you that study the tapes can go back and get these references off of there. Satan is referred to in the Bible as our adversary many times. You ought to read the book of Job as you read the book of Revelation here in this chapter. And the next chapter in the book of Revelation, that's a bad one too. All right, this is something else. That's talking about the Antichristos. The Antichrist, all right? Our adversary is mentioned 14 times in the book of Job. He's referred to. In 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1, Psalm 109 verse 6, and Zechariah 13:1-2. If you want to cross references to other places, Revelation 12 and 3, 12, 15, 20 and verse 2, 13, verse 14, 20 and verse 8 and 10, Genesis 3 and verse 1, on to the rest of the chapter, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, Matthew 4 and 10, and 25, 41, Luke 10, 18, and John 12, 31. Is it all down there in that book?
Yep.
All right. If you got that, you have all of these down there. You can go look them up. All right. And he was cast out, the dragon, the great dragon, the great serpent, Ophis. All right. He's called in the Hebrew, his name is Nahash. That's the Hebrew word for serpent. Nahash. That's the way it sounds. That sound like a meat? Sound like a snake hits you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nahash. I used to teach the little kids and preschoolers and everything else these Hebrew words. They really got a kick out of that. Nahash. All right, serpent. In Genesis, the third chapter, go back and read how that the serpent, the snake, tempted Eve. Then you go back and go into the Acts, the 16th chapter, the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and you study how the woman there was under possession, under probably an angel out of Gabriel's realm, and she was a fortune teller. She told people how to find things, how to find lost kids, lost husbands, lost wives, all of these kinds of stuff. That's what this woman did. And she was under the power of the great Pithona. In Greek, that word for the big snake is our word python comes from that Greek word Pithona. Alright? All ties together, doesn't it? It's surprising if you study enough how much that history relates to the now. The serpent. Alright, the one that was in Genesis. And then it says the ancient one. The archaic one. The ancient one. The Bible says in NRK, Ein Hologos. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. Guess who was back there in some of these ancient times past? In Genesis, the first chapter, it says in beginnings. It says God created the heavens and the earth. That word beginnings there is plural. God created the heavens and the earth. Back then. And then it says, in the earth she became formless and void. What caused her to become formless and void? The Nahash. The great, terrible Lucifer rebelled against God and destroyed this physical world because he was over the physical realm of God. How many stars, other places in the atmosphere that are out there in the galaxies that he destroyed, I don't know. But he played havoc with the whole universe. And especially this planet right here. But God is able to bring about his purposes in the end, even in spite of all that. Isn't he? When God created this earth, he put dinosaurs on it. He put a lot of greenery and a lot of things. When there were fish in the seas and all those things at that time in the original creation of God. Satan rebelled against God and he just made this earth as a kid would go in his room and just tear everything up. How many ever watched Citizen Kane years ago? Citizen Kane with Orson Welles. He got mad at his wife one time went on in her room and just tore the thing upside down and just demolished that whole room. That's what Satan did when he got mad. He demolished the physical creation of God. But God overruled him. Guess what you're going out there and letting these oil companies rob you for right now? Fossil fuel that was created right there. And what's the fossil fuel doing right now? The best fossil fuel in the world is where? In the Middle East. Guess why all the crooked little eyes are looking over there. Why are we going over there and fighting these wars? Not for the people, for the oil companies. So they can keep on draining us dry. Of all our monies at the pump. Well, God allows certain things. He permits things. He permitted him to do what he did back then because he knew in the future, you know, God can see the beginning from the end and everything in between. Satan is not omniscient. He is powerful, but he can't see the beginning from the end. He knows the Word of God. And what he's doing right here, we find out a little later on that he knows how long he's got. He knows he's just got a short while, and he's mad. And he's tearing up things. And this is describing that ancient one. The one being called Diabolos. What does Diabolos mean? Huh? Comes from dia and balo. Two Greek words. Dia and balo.
Choose something?
Well, this means through, or through. And balo, we got a word ball from it. The English word ball. What do you do with a ball?
Throw it.
All right? If you took a ball and threw it hard enough at Brother Ken, it would go through him. And if it went through him, what would it do to you? It would destroy or kill you. And that's the idea. What did Satan, according to Genesis 1 and 2, do to the earth? He was the diabolo. The scientists, you know, that do not believe in the Bible and all that, they just can't accept the Word of God. These evolutionists and whatever you want to call them. Scientists are supposed to believe facts. They don't believe facts. But they said some kind of a comet or something hit this earth so strong that it destroyed everything on it just about. It has destroyed things miles deep. We're on the surface of the earth, and they're miles deep. And I know I've done that. I've been out here in these oil wells, drilling oil wells, and I run into clam shells and stuff miles deep. And little animal bodies and things that are down there that were on the surface. How in the world did that get there? The Bible tells us. Isaiah the 14th chapter, Ezekiel the 20th chapter, talked about the escapades of Satan when it comes to the creation of God. That's what it's called. The destroyer. Now, you know what the word devil means? That's one that means to run you through. That's what he is. The one that destroys. And then in Kai Ho Sahanas, what does Satan mean? All of these are adjectives and pronouns that describe this one. What is Satanas? What does that mean? Satan. What is he? That one that means to stand against. The opposer. The one that stands against you. The opposer. Are you guys getting too cold? And if this is, are you getting a little too cold? It won't hurt to shut. We can. You want to turn that thing where it clicks off? I think it's cool enough here to last you for a few more minutes. And I'll turn you out, okay? That way you won't be freezing. The Satan, the one who stands against. All right? The one who stands against. And then it says, Ho Pranon. The opposer. Who is our adversary? We talked about that first. 14 times he's referred to in the book of Job. He's the one that stands against us, stands against all righteous plans, all righteous acts. You know why it's so hard to do good? Because we got an opposer. The one, it says Plano. Brother Roger the other day talked about the evil ones in the last days leading others astray. And we got our word planet from this very word, Plano. Our word planet. What does a planet do? It goes in a path. You know, the idea of it was that they're on tracks up there in the sky and that those things are they have a path. And by the way, God put them in a place and they're set there. And you can tell the different galaxies. And at nighttime, as a ship, the mariners would go through this ocean, they could tell what time of night it was by what galaxy and what little thing was where up there. I don't know all those terms that they use for those little, what do you call them, brother?
Constellations.
Constellations. How the constellations were moving and where they were and which one was bright, according to what time of night, that's where they are. Okay? They navigate by those things. Well, when you lead somebody astray, it was like you were led out of the beaten path. God has a road for you to walk in. The Indians call it the Red Road one time. That's the road that God wants you to walk in. Walk in that path. And that road. Stay on that path. Well, God does have a path for us to walk in. But Satan is constantly trying to get us out of the pathway. To do something else. To make something more important in our lives than God. the one leading astray. And then it says, Tain, Ekol, Manain, Holain. He's deceiving the whole world. Now, there are figures of speech in the Bible, and here's one of them right here. Now, I'm not saying the Bible isn't true, but this is a figure of speech. And it's what you call hyperbole. And that comes from hyper. Okay, keeper. Two Greek words, keeper and follow. And that means to overthrow. What do you do when you throw past somebody? Can they catch the ball? It's out of the reach. It's above and beyond. It is what you call an exaggeration. Jesus used some of these exaggerations in the Word of God. One of them that we ought to think about, it says it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, and Luke used the word for surgical needle, than for a rich man to get into heaven. That's kind of a hyperbole. You know, you couldn't get a camel through the eye of a surgical needle. It's impossible. I know they got figures of speech and all that kind of stuff that they say was a place that the camel had to get down and walk through this little bitty door that goes in the city, and that was called the eye of a needle. But Luke took care of that in the Word of God. It was a real needle. It's not talking about going through that little door. It's talking about getting a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and that's what you call a hyperbole. It's impossible to get a camel through the eye of a needle. And they said, well, how can a rich man get into heaven? How does a rich man get into heaven? With God, all things are possible. Another time, Jesus used a hyperbole. He said, you strain out the gnat. Now, according to the Leviticus and the law of Moses, it was unclean to eat a gnat. How many of you ever rode motorcycles and smiled? You get bugs on your teeth, you know, and sometimes you eat a bug or a gnat or whatever. You know, this old story, a happy motorcycle rider is the one that has bugs on his teeth, you know. You can accidentally eat a bug. But how many of you have accidentally ever swallowed a camel? Has anybody here ever swallowed a camel by accident? Huh? Camels, even a baby camel would be hard to swallow. And Jesus said you swallow them down in one gulp. That's what you call a hyperbole. Alright, an exaggeration. It's not wrong, you wouldn't lie. He says, you strain out the gnats out of your wine and stuff so you don't eat an unclean bug. And a camel was an unclean animal. You weren't supposed to kill and eat a camel. Okay? Because that was against the law of Moses. But he said, you gulp down the camel in one gulp. If you were going to eat a camel, you'd have to kill it first. Then you'd have to skin it, and you'd have to cook it and all that kind of stuff, and go through all the process of boning it and everything, and then setting down. And if you wanted to eat a camel, it would probably take you at least, if you were extremely hungry, 2 or 3 weeks to eat a whole camel yourself. But that's in the physical, mental idea of killing and eating this camel. And that includes his hair and his hooves. It wasn't manure, though. That's what you'd have to do. And Jesus said you swallowed the camel with one gulp. With one gulp! That's a hyperbole, but a taught a truth. You go to the most minute detail in your way of determining the law and what you believe the law to teach, but the most weightier matters of the law you will not do. He said, you scrub the outside of the pot, and it's shiny and pretty on the outside, but inside it is filthy and corrupt. He said, clean first the inside. And having to work, how much of the angelic forces did Satan lead astray? 1/3 of the forces. All right, in the world today, the majority of the world today out there that you see is a lost and dying world going to hell, isn't it? The majority of it. So if you said the whole world's going to hell, well, that's what Jesus said right here. But not all of us going. Some of us say there are some people still being saved during this very time. But most of them are going to hell. And hurt. All right. And then it says here, he was hurled out unto the earth, him and his angels with him. They were hurled and cast out. Now, I think this is referring to two periods of time. Mainly, he was thrown out of heaven, and Jesus said that he saw Lucifer fall as a bolt of lightning and hit this earth. What does a bolt of lightning do when it strikes? It destroys something, doesn't it? But this is not the main idea. Satan, during this last period of time, is going to be empowering nations to come against God. We're going to look at that just a little bit later. We've got a few more minutes. 12 and verse 10. Satan's wrath is what it's talking about. Verses 10 through 12. Kai?
Kai.
Ekusa?
Ekusa.
Onane?
Onane.
Megalane?
Megalane.
Ento Urano?
Ento Urano.
Legusan?
Legusan.
Arti?
Arti.
Agenito. See that word again? Agenito.
Hey?
Soterios?
Soterios.
Kai?
Kai.
Hey?
Hey.
Dinamis?
Dinamis.
Kai?
Kai.
Hey?
Hey.
Basalia?
Basalia.
Tu?
Tu.
Diu?
Diu.
Hemon?
Hemon.
Kai?
Kai.
Hey?
Hey.
Exousia?
Exousia.
Tu?
Tu.
Christu?
Christu.
Altu?
Altu.
Hoti?
Okay.
Ebolete,
Ho,
Katergo, Kerkergor, that is, Tone, Adelphone, Hemon, Ho, Katergoron, Altus, Enopion, Tu, Theu, Hemon, Hemeros, Kai, Nikos. Or Nikos, however you want to say that. And I heard a sound great in the heaven. I heard a noise great. He could say, I heard a voice from heaven. Saying, until it became the salvation. Look at that. Arte, that little until, that's an adverb of time. You can look that one up on page 53. All right, if you want to. Until it became, or it came to pass, the salvation. Look at this word here, hey soterios. There's a term in theological worlds, it's called soteriology. Soteriology. And that word comes right out of this Greek word. It means the study of salvation. Soteriology. It's a Greek term, but it's been brought over into the English. The study of the plan of salvation. Now it looks like this. He said here that until that it came to pass, this plan of salvation, it was completed. All right? And the might or the power. The word dynamis there, have you ever heard of the word dynamite? Mm-hmm. You know, dynamite was so explosive they didn't know what to call it, so they called it dynamite. Dynamis. Right straight out of the Greek. The power, word for power. The dynamis. And then it says, Kai Hei Basileia. And the kingdom of the God of us. You know, in these verses are going to be the last time that Satan ever goes to heaven. You know, if you read the book of Job, you're going to find out that that Satan is up in heaven daily making accusations against you and me. Every day. That's what he does. He's the opposer. He's the accuser. He's our adversary. He's down here doing everything that he can do against every child of God in this world. But there's going to be a time when he doesn't have any more access. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm going to be glad when that day comes. Aren't you? No more. We won't need an advocate. 1 John 2 and 2, 2, 1 and 2, it says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. We won't need him there. That job's going to be done one of these days. Satan won't be able to waltz in and give us a hard time before God because that job of the advocate is done with. Satan will no longer be able to accuse us. I can't say hallelujah enough, loud enough, but that is great. It is great. And it says, and the authority, that exousia, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth, all exousia in heaven and upon earth is given unto me. That's the word right there. And guess who has it? The authority to Christou. What is that word, to Christou? Look in the genitive case here on your little book marker. See what that word genitive means.
Possession.
Huh? The case of possession. The authority belonging to Christ. All right? Do you see how beautiful Greek is? I'm going to teach you just a little bit at a time, but a year or two from now, you're going to be scholars. The Christ of Him. Because He was cast out the accuser. Look at that word there now. Here's a different word. The one that, kata agurio. You know what that means, brother? We got a word Gregory out of this word. What does the word Gregory mean? That's a watcher. A watcher! He's one that watches and spies on somebody. Gregory. Gregoria. Alright? That's the term. One that watches. Maybe they got the Gorgorials or whatever they from that term. I don't know. I don't want to get all these foolish things. The one that watches. Alright? And then it's got kata on the front of it. Kata is a preposition. Alright? This little word means down. When you look down on somebody, what do?
Belittle.
You belittle them. He is the one that belittles us day and night. The belittler. The accuser. The one that destroys character. That's who it is. The one that bemeans. The one that casts you down, that causes depression. This is the one. The accuser, the insulter. All right, one who insults. The brethren of us. The one of insulting them. Enokion, what in the world is that word? That's an adverb. An adverb means what? Adverb means what?
It's a
something done actively, isn't it? Adverb usually has an L-Y on the end of it. And when you're ungodly, what does that word ungodly mean? Look at that word for just a minute. Ungodly. You can read it through all this. Un-God.
You never even told me that word.
Lee. All right, we have to repeat this. This is three little stages here. Ungodly. Un means not. Not.
Not God-like. Or not
God. Okay, not God. All right? And this L-Y means actively related to.
Oh, yeah.
Not actively related to God. That's what ungodly means. All right? Ungodly. Not actively related to God. Your actions prove to the world that you're not related to God. All right? So, now down in the presence of. The presencely of. Right down in front of. He's accusing the brethren in front of the God of us. Day and night. Hemeros is day. Alright? And then it says, Kai Niktos. Now, you can swallow that kappa in there if you want to. You know what you do when you swallow something? You don't say it. And if you don't say that word Niktos, it's Nitos. Night. We get our word night right out of this Greek word. N-I-G-H-T. Alright? The word night comes right out of Nikon. Alright? Do you see that there? Night. He accuses us day and night. There's a lot of cross-references in here. Job 1:11. Through 2 and verse 5, if you want to read all of those, that'll tell you about this. If you want to cross-reference it with 1 John 2, 1 and 2, you can read about that. 1 Peter 5:8, Luke 22 and verse 31, Zechariah 3 and verse 1, Revelation 11 verse 15 and 7 verse 10. All of this is within the subjects of this rascal right here. The one accusing us. And that's where we're going to leave off this week.
This one's getting good.
Huh?
This one's getting good.
Well, I tell you what, the book here, it is so exciting from here on out. The most exciting chapters in the book of Revelation. I mean, we have studied some really wonderful studies.
Mm-hmm.
But the most exciting ones are yet to come. The next chapter, we're going to study about the Antichrist himself and all of his attributes. Right now, we're studying about Satan and all of his wrath that he's going to bring upon God's people and the earth, God's creation, like he did originally. He's going to kick up his heels again. But guess what? It's short-lived. Thank God for that. I am looking so much forward to this period of time because I'm going to be looking down from heaven saying, God give it. He's given me enough trouble and he's given the whole human race so much trouble accusing us all of these years, all these times. Just think about it. The chickens are coming home to roost. You know, when you sow wild oats, they come up. You know, you go out and sow your wild oats and then you pray for a crop failure. We do. We go out and we do some awful crazy things and breed some ghastly monstrosity chickens. And they come home to roost. These are the terms. Satan's works are going to follow him. What he's done. And he is going to suffer forever and ever. For 1,000 years, he's going to be locked up. And then he's going to be turned loose again on this earth for a short period of time. And we get to see our Savior knock him out. Kale, he's going to be better than George Foreman or anybody that have ever fought. Even Cassius Clay, he's going to be faster than that. He used to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. All right, he's going to be better than all of that. That's our Savior. He's our Lord. You're part of that bride. He will be your husband to nourish you forever and ever. Think about that. Are you saved today? Do you know your place with God? And if you're saved, are you doing what the Lord wants you to do? You need to. Because we're fighting this man, this thing, this spirit daily. Do you think you can stand a chance against something like this? The powerful being that he is, that it influences people and even influence your own mind and the things that you do. He is powerful. Without Christ, you are nothing. Follow him. If you're not saved, accept him in your life. Repent of your sins. Say, I was an ungodly buzzard. Yeah, we all know that. We're all ungodly. There won't be one righteous person put in hell. Do you know that? There won't be one innocent person in hell. But if you don't accept Christ, you'll be there. And you'll be guilty of his blood. I guarantee you that much. And that's prophecy, just like this prophecy way out here. Father, thank you for your word. Thank these people so much for giving their time and coming here and studying your word. Let it go into their minds and their hearts. And help them to understand it as they go out. Help them to witness for you. Forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.